Well, Locker, we did it.
We did it.
We did it, Nye. Team Green Zone beat Team Justin and Wheels in last night's Happy Gilmore driving contest.
I'm just doing the math on how much we beat them by.
Well, Justin got you by 2 yards, and I got Wheels by about 54 yards. So, quick math, we beat him by 52 yards.
Did you just do that in your head?
Yeah. It wasn't that tough, but okay.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
A little bit of controversy this morning when we accepted our gifts, which was part of the bet, that Justin tried to give you the wrong alcoholic beverage.
Yeah, it's on the tape. We did agree to Magner's Ciders, and he got the cheapest, most tainted cider of all time.
He got a two-liter.
He got one of those cheap two-liter cider jugs out of the bottom of the beer fridge.
I was like, you were that like, is, no, that's not acceptable.
That's not the.
He hung in there for a while.
And then I played the tape for him, and he's conceded, fine, and then he left. So
I said to Wheels, because you two were kind of going at it, and Wheels sat down beside me, and we were watching this exchange go back and forth, and I was like, this is like, does he know that, like, Jamie won't give in?
Of course I won't. A bet's a bet.
And Will's like, I told him. He's giving it his best. He's giving it the old college try.
I'm glad that Wheels is now, what is he? He's filled your beer fridge again for like the fourth time.
Yes.
He's never going to bet you again.
I said that in staff meeting. I haven't had to buy beer this summer because I work with Wheels now.
And he keeps on making beer bets.
Oh, he made me laugh last night because he took his... Was it his first or second one?
His first two.
He hit so far behind the ball. We were doing the Happy Gilmore swing out at Joanne Goulet, the driving range. And he struck the ball behind the ball about a foot and a half. And he took out a wedge of grass.
Oh, and then his second shot, it made it even worse. Like, dude, like... They don't need a new irrigation line because you're digging a hole for them pretty good out here on their driving range.
And do you notice when I said Wheels, try looking at the ball.
Then he smoked it. Only 187 yards, though, which is 54 yards shorter than my longest. All mine were within like 5 yards of each other.
Yeah, you were very consistent. Although I think I got cheated out on the one that I hit.
I thought you hit one almost 300 yards because I cleared the driving range.
I was in the rhubarb, but it said it only said it was 247.
Yeah. Anyway, I want to recount. Let's pace it off tonight. Let's go back there and pace that off because that was more than 247 yards.
I'm in. I got beer.
If you see two random dudes wandering the Joanne Goulet driving range after hours with
slash stumbling
a beer in hand, that'd be us pacing out Locker's drive from last night. Just
one,
as a...
two.
Oh, I've lost count. Let's start again. Okay, the starting lineup tonight, it is Cody Fajardo's return as the starting quarterback of the Elks against the Riders.
There'll be some Fajardo jersey, I think, in the stands, and I think there'll be some people wearing Fajardo jerseys that will be booing me, which will be pretty interesting.
Well, it will be interesting to see what kind of reception Cody Fajardo gets tonight as the Elks at 1-4 take on the 5-1 Saskatchewan Rough Riders. A reminder, it is the Pure Later Tackle Hunger Game, so bring those food bank donations, non-perishable food items, cash donations. We can beat last year 29,000 pounds. It looks like it's going to be a pretty good crowd tonight. Still tickets available, but
very few.
And it's a great night for football, so hopefully walk-up's pretty good. And even better news, the halftime show is the Flyball Dogs.
The dog racing. You are fascinated by the dog. You need to get a dog.
Locker.
You should get a dog and then train it.
I've told you. My kids do listen. Stop it. We are not getting a dog.
A nice puppy for the Nye household.
Stop it.
All right, we'll stick with the CFL. The Alouettes surprised the Stamps in Calgary.
That is up. Has the line. Nails it with room to spare. What a kick from Jose Maltos.
I like Maltos. He's fun to watch, and he is on fire right now. Last couple of games, he's been nailing it. So it was a come-from-behind victory, technically speaking, in the fourth quarter. But Montreal hung around. Calgary never really got too far away from it. And Davis Alexander is out, so you had the backup, McLeod Bethel-Thompson, last night, who completed 30 of 40 passes. But last night, it was the kicker. It was Maltos' game. Montreal is now 5-2 on the season, so that's a big win with Davis out. And the Stamps are also 5-2 on the season. That gives the Rough Riders lead for now in the West.
A win tonight. We'll secure sole position.
Yeah. Yes, sole position. Dedrick Mills looked really good last night, too. He had a couple of majors for Calgary in the loss.
And Vernon Adams Jr. goes down in that game. It was a concussion.
That was in the beginning of the fourth, right? I'm trying to remember how long the back, because the backup was awful.
P.J. Walker sucked last night. It was not good. He couldn't move the ball at all, and that's why Montreal got the shot with all those field goals.
He looked nervous.
To win it. Meanwhile, the Blue Jays, whew, they were humming last night.
Well hit ball to deep left, and he made him pay. Now Loperfido with a high fly ball to deep right, and this one is gone. Clement and Loperfido go back-to-back. It is 5-1.
Just the two guys you'd pick to have back-to-back home runs for the Toronto Blue Jays, Clement and Joey Loperfido.
Just before Ernie hit his, Clement, they walked Barger because they were worried about Barger cranking one.
I'd be worried about Barger, too.
And in the last series against the Yankees, they hit one home run. Last night, they get back-to-back home runs, so they're already ahead of their home run total, the Jays. So if they get the bats together on the home run side of things, this is going to be a dangerous team.
The stats since the All-Star break, I know it's very short, but like strikeouts to ball walk ratio, the Jays are way ahead of everybody in the major leagues. Like their strikeout to walk ratio for their pitchers is ridiculous. They're also leading the league in terms of strikeouts to walks at the plate as well. So they're very efficient throwing the ball. They're very efficient at the plate. They're taking on the Tigers again with Jose Barrios on the mound.
5 o'clock start there. We'll move over. How do you want to do this? Do you want to play the fart first?
Well,
so play the. Do you have the fart?
I yeah.
Okay, so. That was at the Open. I don't remember what day it was. Maybe it was on. Was it on the Saturday? I think it was on the Saturday. It was on towards the end of the day.
No, it was Friday.
Was it the Friday?
It was either day one or day two because we talked about it that afternoon when it happened. So
okay.
We weren't working last Friday.
That's okay. Well, whatever. It doesn't matter what day. It was the Open last week, and everyone thought it might have been a fan. And there was even rumors that a fan got removed from the gallery for the fart. And then, you know, and the commentators were talking about it. Well, Scotty Scheffler,
that was his shot.
That was his shot. He was on with Pat McAfee. So play that on.
At the Open, did you fart?
Oh. Yeah, that was me.
Was it?
Actually?
Oh, yeah, that was me.
It was Scotty Scheffler.
So there you go. The mystery of the 153rd Open Phantom Fart has been solved, ladies and gentlemen. We got down to the bottom of it.
I'm glad we resolved that. That was very important to do.
Bottom of it. We can move on.
The second half of the F1 season is ready to go.
It's lights out and away we go.
Yes, the Belgium Grand Prix is going this weekend. Back at it with 12 in and now 12 to go in F1 racing. Few storylines. This is the first weekend for Red Bull after team principal and CEO Christian Horner got the axe. Max Verstappen still being asked about his future. He says that dismissal has no impact at all on his future with Red Bull, with speculation that he might be heading to Mercedes. And it's going to be very interesting locker with two teammates, Oscar Piastri, Lando Norris. They're separated by just 8 points in the Drivers' Championship. You have two teammates who have both never won a driver's title that close together. Oh, to be the CEO, Zach Brown, to try to manage ego and racing strategy with both young drivers wanting to win that driver's. McLaren's winning the constructors. It's like they're double up on anybody close to what they were doing. So F1 is back this weekend in Belgium. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, we get you set for the Riders and the Elks with Britton Gray's All or Nothing on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. A game day edition of the Green Zone getting set for the Riders and the Edmonton Elks. And each and every game day, Britton Gray brings you another episode of All or Nothing. And this week, he's looking at the big contributions from a pair of second-year receivers. Keyshawn Johnson, fifth in the CFL. Dante Myers, sixth. Another example of you never know who could emerge as the next playmaker in the CFL.
Sometimes it's the players who sign without a lot of fanfare who can become some of the CFL's brightest stars. Years ago, Weston Dressler was signed by the Riders as a relatively unknown commodity. He then went on to have a Hall of Fame career. And while Keyshawn Johnson and Dante Myers still have a long way to go to reach those heights, they have started their climbs. Johnson was signed late November ahead of 2024 training camp. He's now fifth in the CFL in receiving yards.
Harris gets it away. End zone shot. Hauled in. Keyshawn Johnson.
Riders receivers coach Marquay McDaniel says when it comes to Johnson, his resume spoke for itself.
He broke all Dante Adams' record at Fresno, right? So I saw that coming in. Had good NFL film, too.
Meanwhile, Myers was one of four receivers on a media release in December. Not only is he the only one left on the team from that release, he is sixth in the CFL in receiving yards and fifth in touchdown receptions.
Down the field, drops it in, five, end zone, touchdown, Riders! An early strike to Dante Myers!
Harris pump fake, now a shot down the sideline, touchdown, Riders!
Drops it in there for Myers! His
Daniel admits Myers' speed has been a surprise to him.
He had good college film, but I didn't know that he had as much juice as he did. I saw the quickness. But when you get a receiver that is quick and fast, that's dangerous, especially up here.
If there is one person who knows what it takes to adjust quickly to the CFL game, it is McDaniel. He came to the league in 2009 and was the Hamilton Tigercats' most outstanding rookie.
I was always a slot guy, so to me it kind of came natural. I know Keyshawn and Dante were more outside guys in college. The slot's a little different game. I think Dante did a little bit, but it's just a different game up here. If you're a slot receiver, you kind of see the pitchers better, but when you go from outside to inside, the pitchers change. And like I said, the game is slowing down for those guys.
So for Johnson, what was it he wanted to improve this offseason?
Getting more chemistry with Trevor, being better at the waggle, and just knowing defense is more up here with the extra person on the field, and that's something I put work into in the offseason.
For Myers, one of his main focuses was staying healthy.
Adapting myself to the game. The States game and the CFL game is two totally different games from an athlete standpoint. So just trying to get comfortable, play fast and less thinking, that's kind of more so the focus.
McDaniel says one of the biggest things that is helping them reach this point is finally getting those reps.
Every guy is different, right? You might know what you're doing, but to actually find those holes, to see how the defenses are dropping. Different teams do different things, or it might be the same defense, but they drop different ways. So just getting an understanding of that, you can see, like I said, the more reps you get, the more understanding you get of it, and you can see those guys are definitely taking their games to that next level.
And head coach Corey Mace is glad to see them develop.
I think for them being able to embrace this game, fall into what it is that we're trying to establish here. They were part of the first year of that, and they know the standards, and they take that and they run with it, man. Like I said, it's we can talk all day about what they do with the ball in their hands. I would urge people to watch what they do when they don't, what they do for their teammates. So incredible players, and they get what they deserve.
So with the CFL negotiation list now public, you never know whose name on there now could eventually become the next CFL star. For the Green Zone, I'm Britton Gray.
Britton Gray's All or Nothing as we get ready for kickoff. 7 o'clock tonight, the Green Zone pregame show at 5. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone as it is a game day edition of the Green Zone getting set for the Riders and the Edmonton Elks. The Green Zone pregame show begins at 5 o'clock tonight with Darrell Davis, Belton Johnson joining me and all the work Britton Gray does for the pregame and postgame show as well. The game starts at 7 and it is on TSN and the smoke is a non-factor.
Well, the other
you're worried about the last home game for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
The other issue that we had earlier today was the forecast, because they were saying there's the possibility. It's very humid in Regina right now.
Slight chance of thunderstorms.
Yes, and it's still in there, but they've now said that it looks like the more likelihood of thunderstorms will happen after the game. So I was planning on bringing rain gear for the scooter ride.
Weatherman Locker over here. Look at you.
Well, I'll handle the weather if you want to handle the smoke.
And if you're wrong, you can text Locker. I'll give you his private number.
But
let's turn our attention to hockey. He's back after the U-17 Hockey Canada Development Camp. Of course, four teams. Maddox Schultz was on a Team Black this past week. Maddox, how did it go?
Hey, guys. Yeah, it was great. Super fun experience. And, put on that Team Canada jersey for practice the first day was, something I'll never forget.
Oh, sweet. Were you the youngest? We're guessing you were?
Yes, I was the youngest person there, yeah.
Okay. Have you ever been the oldest, Maddox, at any of these things?
probably not something this big, but yeah, for sure when I was younger.
Okay.
We were wondering about that because you've always aged.
Yeah, you're always playing up, right?
And I'm like, has he ever had the experience of looking around the room going, am I the oldest guy here? Probably not for a while, hey, Maddox?
Yeah, not for a while, no.
Trust me, you don't want it. It's not a good feeling when you walk into a newsroom in your 40s and you go, wait a second, when did this happen? When am I the oldest guy around? So you treasure it that you're the youngest guy in the room.
Stay young, kid. Stay young.
As long as you can. Now,
hey, keep
of course,
your hair.
Your Pat Canadian teammate, Chase Sirkan, was also there. You went up against him on Team Gold in the first game, I do believe. Did you tussle? Did you get him in the corners or anything like that?
No, actually. I did have a chance to finish a check on him, and I didn't. Have to make sure that he's ready to go for, Brandon. But, yeah, he was great. We also had Boston Tate there from the Pack. Pack Canadians too, so he also played awesome. So it was good to see some fellow SAS players there.
So did you skate by him after and said, Chase, I had you dead to rights.
Had you in the sights, buddy. Had you in the sights.
No, I think I pinned him against the wall one time and I just said, yeah, I'm not gonna hit you.
You did get a roughing penalty though, Maddox. What was going on?
Yeah, I was sticking up for a teammate. He got like hit from his back and pinned against the wall when he was on his knees. So I've kind of pushed him over and then, sat for two. But I was happy with sticking up for my teammate.
So, Maddox, can you give us a rough idea of your day at these? It was a four-day camp, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, it was 5 days.
5 days? So can you give us like get up, a breakfast, workout, can you give us a quick rundown on how these things – They go for you guys?
Yeah, so the first day we woke up, we had breakfast, and then we went to the rink at around 11. We had one practice, and then we had another practice later at 6. They fed us great, always had good food and good people there at the hotel helping us recover and helping us prepare for the next ice time. And then that was on Saturday, and then Sunday we had one practice, and then Monday was where the fun started. We played Gold in our first game, and all our games were at 6 o'clock, so we woke up pretty early. I'd say 8 o'clock, had breakfast, went over meetings with coaches and had some video there, and then went for a team walk, and then had some naps, you know, in between that and the game, and then obviously headed to the rink and did what we needed to do to prepare, and then you know, we go out and play. So I think, you know, it was very well set up, and you know, I was just very lucky to be there.
How important is this for you to make those good impressions for the Hockey Canada brass? I know Alan Miller is now the head of performance, and he drafted you after, now he's now left the Pats, but he'd know you from being around. But how important are these camps to get in there and make a good impression, not only on the ice, but off the ice as well?
Absolutely. I think, you know, you're picked to be there for a reason. And obviously, you know, you want to establish yourself as, you know, who you are. And I think it really starts off the ice, introducing yourself to, you know, the big people that are there and, you know, the people that picked you to be there. And it also starts, you know, with asking questions and, you know, trying to get yourself noticed off the ice. But then when on ice comes, I think you just got to compete. That was one of the things that they really, you know, tried to get us to do. They said it about 240 times in the first day, just to, you know, leave it all out there, right? Try and, you know, show yourself as much as possible. And I think that's what, you know, a lot of people did there.
This isn't the first time that we've chatted with you here on the Green Zone, Maddox, and we've met you in person as well. We know you're a very, very humble kid, but I'm curious about how you felt, like your comfortability playing with kids older than you in an elite development Canada, you know, Hockey Canada camp, for a reason. I mean, they're bringing you out because you're, you know, the future of this program. How do you feel you fit in? Did you get a sense that that you were able to, you know, just be part of the group and what was going on?
Yeah, obviously, you know, when you go to a camp like that, you know, there's a lot of great players, obviously the best in Canada, top 80. And to be picked as a 2010 there in a 2009 camp, obviously a huge honor. I just feel super lucky to be there. And obviously, when you go there, you want to make a bigger impression than as if you were an 09 kid. Obviously, people look at you as the younger player, the younger person, but I think just you know, trying to fit in with the older guys and you know, talking about what they talk about off the ice and, you know, having laughs, I think that's really important too, to gain connections with people you might not know as well. And yeah, I think I did a pretty good job of that.
Maddox Schultz joining us back from that U-17 Hockey Canada development camp in Ontario just over the weekend. So you said it earlier. Was that the first time you've thrown on a Hockey Canada jersey at one of these camps or not?
It has been. That's the first time that I've attended a Hockey Canada camp before. Obviously, when I was younger, in Medicine Hat, I would throw on the Team Canada jersey and rip around at public skate. But this is the first time that I really came to a camp and you know, tried to make a team. So. It was very fun.
Do you feel like what you went through this past weekend, Maddox, sets you up for this next stage of your hockey career in Major Junior?
I believe so. Obviously, when you come to a camp like this, you know, there's a lot of, you know, people watching you. And I think, you know, you really get a taste of what Major Junior is like. Yeah, I think, you know, like I said, when you come to a camp like this, it really prepares you for, you know, what the next couple of years are going to be like. And I'm really excited for the next couple of years.
For international play, now that it's back for National Hockey League players, I think we had you on, you were like four when they won in Sochi, and that was the last time the NHLers played anyways. Does that become a dream again? For the Olympics, for a Maddox Schultz, of course, Stanley Cup and all that stuff would still be ahead, but internationally, throwing on that Canadian jersey with the Olympics a couple of, you know, months away for the NHLers, how high is that on your to-do list, so to speak?
Yeah, it's right at the top. Obviously, you know, Olympics are coming back. It's pretty cool to hear that. And yeah, like you said, I was 4 years old when they won in Sochi. Yeah, that's obviously becomes a reality and a dream. But hopefully, you know, that could happen in the future.
Maddox, I watch that World Juniors tournament every year. Who do I need to talk to get you on that team? Just give me a couple of names, buddy.
Well, let's start with Al. We have his number. We can call
let's
Al.
Let's call Al.
I know he's a bit young. Come on.
Probably just Al. Obviously, he just took a huge job. Really excited for him. The whole city's excited for him. And I had a chat with him before the camp, actually off the ice, and just to, you know, re-talk with him about, you know, how the draft went and what his new job's like. It was pretty cool to catch up with him, but yeah, probably him.
I also went to high school with Scott Salmon.
Well, see, you got an in. There you go. That works.
I'm going to reach out, buddy. I'm going to reach out.
Locker's an insider all of a sudden with Hockey Canada. Didn't even know that. All righty. Maddox, we're about a month away now, I guess, from Regina Pats training camp, your first with the Pats. So what's the plan for the next month?
My dad is running a camp next week called Speed and Skills, so I'll be helping out with that. Obviously training here and there. In between those skates, but after that, obviously, just going to be on the ice a ton, you know, gearing up for the camp, and obviously in the gym lots too. So yeah, that's probably about it.
Just based on who your parents are and what they do, does teaching the game to other kids, Maddox, does that come kind of natural to you?
I think you know, when my parents taught me. All the little things about, you know, being a good skater, being a good person, and, you know, being a good hockey player. I think some of that stuff comes from them too. You know, when I'm out there coaching little kids and, you know, giving back, I think I really find some of that in me too. So, yeah.
By the way, what was your dog's name? I couldn't for the life of me remember.
Sully. Sullivan.
Sully. Yeah. That's right. How's he doing? Is he doing okay?
He's doing good. I was actually in Toronto for just 3 weeks there, and I didn't get to see him. So only got in contact with him through two FaceTime calls throughout the trip. So just got back yesterday, and I'm really excited to see him.
Yeah, I imagine he was excited to see you, too. The best year on the house. Maddox, always appreciate you taking the time. And, of course, we'll be waiting for Regina Pats training camp now a month away. Thanks so much again for joining us, Maddox.
Say hi to Sully for us.
Yep, will do. Thank you, guys.
That is Maddox Schultz back from the Hockey Canada U-17 development camp. Of course, they split four teams, gold, red, black, white. They all go up against each other. There's a couple of Saskatchewan kids out there with Maddox Schultz, but he was the only 2010-born player there. Once again, the youngest for Maddox Schultz.
Oh, I can't wait to see him in a Hockey Canada jersey. Playing in the World Juniors. He might be a bit young this year because
there's only been one player ever at the age of 15 to be in a World Junior, and it was this past World Juniors.
Yeah.
And it was a Swiss player on Team Switzerland.
But he's 15
Canada
now.
Doesn't do that.
He's 15 now. He turns, his birthday's in March, right?
So he's already 15. He won't turn 16 until after the World
after
Juniors.
The tournament. Yeah. So we probably won't see him. Although, he's a special hockey player.
He is.
I like that kid, too.
A month kid. Away from WHL training camps coming up, and of course, the Pats have a couple of young prospects after drafting 1 and 3, Liam Pugh third in the most recent U15 draft.
This Pats team, Jamie's going to be fun to watch this year.
And next, and the year after.
Yeah.
And then it'll get interesting with the new NCAA stuff that is going on.
You just shush.
It's reality.
Shush.
Sorry, it's reality.
Just shush over there.
Coming up next. Well, it seems, Locker, recently when we've been remembering a lot of awful anthems in this day in sports history.
It has been a bit of a string, right?
However, today, 35 years ago, had the president calling this anthem disgraceful. We'll remember it next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
this. Hepbridge Farm remembers.
Open. Chicago with the lead.
It is Joe Sakic. Scores. Joe Sakic scores.
It's better promise me I'll be back in time.
Yeah, I'm
gonna get back in time.
Happy 35th anniversary. July 25th. Roseanne Barr. I don't think you'll ever hear an anthem booed harder than that one. I don't think Canadians booed the American anthem that hard a couple of months ago during the whole Trump stuff. So Roseanne Barr was getting booed out of the building in San Diego. She finished it off with a crotch grab and a spit.
But I think there was also something at the beginning when she was walking up that sort of set everybody off right away. Like it was like it went downhill quick.
And the president at the time, George H.W. Bush, even weighed in calling it disgraceful. And then they had a little back and forth between Roseanne and the president about her anthem. She claims that San Diego, the Padres, told her, you know, have some fun with it. And that was just
that's not fun, Roseanne.
Having some fun with it.
That was
one of the most infamous anthems of all time happened 35 years ago today.